Well, hello again, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew would like to once again thank you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. The date is Saturday, May 10th, 2014, and this is your lovable, sometimes tolerable MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting and exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, it is, the month of May, so we are just going to continue plugging along while the weather continues to warm up, and do what we do best, and that is providing you with the highest quality, most entertaining OTR broadcasts that are within our power to produce. So, without any further delays, allow me to introduce the presenter for tonight's program. And he just so happens to be the OTR All-Star and fan favorite of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise, that crazy Canuck rotten Rick Spurgeon. Yep, we got him to do what he does best. And after that nice little thawing up there in Canada, where his home studios are, he's just back at it again. So if everyone could just please sit back, grab those cold drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Rotten Rick, the microphone is yours.
And thank you, and hi, everybody. You may not remember me. It's been, 6 weeks or so? I forget how long, but in the meantime, you've had some great entertainment, and now it's my turn to see if I can hold up my end of the bargain. Tonight, a couple of adventure shows, maybe even one that's kind of romantic adventure. Now, we always like to find a tie-in to make the shows stick together as something that's common to them. Tonight, it's going to be a couple of characters. Not the same characters in each show, but the same type of character. We're going to hear from a king who sings. We're going to hear from a poet who sings. One's a lord, one's a king. Well, anyway, have you got some ideas by now? You will in a minute, because the first show is Bold Venture, so you know who the king is. Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall had a nice little series in the early 50s. Not a greatly lengthy one, but a good one, as we're about to hear right from this here juncture.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Sailor, stand still a minute. I want you to slip into this.
You flipped, kiddo.
Oh, now look, baby. 3 days now, no tourist has set heel, toe, or nose in Shannon's place. Least you can do is cooperate in drumming up a little trade. Come on, try it on. It'll make you a walking dream.
You can get down on your hands and knees and touch your pointed head to my open-toed sneakers. I'm not getting into that thing.
Oh, come on. At least let me hold it up to you for size. Ah, sure, a creation. Adjust the shoulder straps off a little here. Plane this area down a bit. Chop off a little here.
Shannon, just put your tired little skull between these
two. What's the matter, sailor? You got a thing against sandwich signs? What kind of a neurotic are you?
It's just that I ain't tasty between two slabs of plywood.
Baby, you slip into this. Grab a fistful of our handbills, work the plaza for an hour, you'll have them standing in line.
Well, that's cute, cute. Keep them behind a wooden barrier, son. That way the fillies never get away from you. Ain't that right, cutie pie?
Look, mister, you want a room? Just ask for a room. Let's not feed no sugar to no fillies, huh?
You got yourself a ball of fire, mister. Just dribble her against that board for a while. She'll shape up.
It's like the lady said, mister. You want a room, ask for it. Cheap philosophy brings the rates up.
Well, no offense, mister. That's just me. Kindly. That's why I'm looking for a Slate Shannon, because I'm on a kindly errand.
Rest your weary frame, friend. You found him. I'm Slate Shannon.
You the same Shannon owns a boat?
Yeah, the Bold Venture. She's lying at the pier with a sick carburetor. It's real kind of you to ask.
Well, that's me, you know, kindly. You wouldn't be the Slate Shannon that's a friend of a fellow with a scar by the name of Rudy Keyjohn, would you?
Rudy? Yeah. Why, Rudy was the greatest swashbuckler of them all, after me, of course. Why, 5 years ago in New Orleans, I left Rudy swashing and buckling away fit
you
to...
You sure that you were with him in New Orleans 5 years ago?
Sure, I'm sure. One of the fondest memories of my life.
Well, that makes you Slate Shannon, all right. Makes you something else, too. A killer.
Honey, sugar bun. Whoever told you this man was Slate Shannon?
5 years ago, they found Rudy Keyjohn on the waterfront dead of a knife wound. New Orleans police been looking for the man he was with the night he died, and I just found him. Me, Bob Yancey.
You crazy, mister? When I left Rudy, he had his arm around a New Orleans paper doll.
Stick your nose to my badge, Slate Shannon. Also, this gun. It's known as a police positive. Then come quietly. You're under arrest for the murder of Rudy Keyjohn.
Yancey's not back yet, huh? Hungry, Rudy? Well, answer me, honey. I'm a girl and attention should be paid. I brought food. I asked you if you were... Oh, where's the manners, honey? Offer from me to you one Havana hamburger sandwich. I'll hold and you can nibble.
Linda.
Mm-hmm?
Untie me, Linda. Get me out of this place. Has he gone to Slate Shannon, Linda?
Mm-hmm. A little while ago.
Get me out of here. Untie me. Go on, Linda. Untie me. I can't do this thing to Slate Shannon. To an old friend.
You've already done it, baby. Now we know all about Shannon we need to know. And we needed to know it. Thank you, Rudy Keyjohn.
And you'll use this knowledge to do what to Shannon?
Oh, don't worry your tousled head, honey. You ought to eat something, Rudy. Eating's nourishment, and you're going to need it.
Get out, Shannon.
What for? This is nowhere, Yancey.
It's Havana waterfront at eventide, fabled in story and song. Out. Over here. I'm good to you. Look how nice you can see Havana's waterfront. Now, I do this because I've got a feeling that you're going to miss it.
Hey, you got something on your mind, Yancey?
Yeah. Yeah, I have, Shannon. I'm noted for things I have on my mind.
What's today's burden, Yancey?
Well, once I read the encyclopedia, it made me fluttery, you know, that section under jade. That part about Fitsui jade from Burma goes like this. New paragraph, quote, Fitsui jade is the rarest and most valuable jade known, unquote. Now, isn't that nicely worded?
You a cop, Yancey?
Pay attention, Shannon, you know. I could forget there's a murder rap crawling all over you. Look over there. That boat that's a beauty, huh?
Oh, you mean that catch?
Uh-huh, yeah, that's the catch Moonspray out of Rangoon. I was there when she left. The skipper was pointed out to me just before he weighed anchor. The skipper's name is Pedro Velez.
Pedro Velez?
Friend of yours?
You a cop, Yancey?
Take a look, Shannon. What does that make me? Anything I want to be? Right.
Not a cop, huh?
Well, I got a cop's badge. Stole it from a dear friend of mine who's a cop. Pedro Velez, Shannon. Skipper of a catch out of Rangoon hauling a small sea chest of Fitsui jade.
That's the burden, huh?
The current one, yeah. I need to get aboard that catch, Shannon. You can arrange it. You know Pedro Velez. Listen to this, Slate. It's the safety catch of a gun. Sounds just like that because that's what it was. Let's get going, Shannon. We've got a thing to do.
Sighing over the scrapbooks of Mr. Slate isn't going to free him of a murder charge, Lady Sailor.
I just can't believe it, King. Slate's no killer.
The kind of man Mr. Slate is, Lady Sailor, the kind of life he's led, who knows what might have happened to him back in the shadows of his years?
You think he could have killed a man?
Do you want an answer, Lady Sailor, to make you feel better, or do you want an answer?
Just an answer, King.
Yes, I think Mr. Slate could have killed a man. I have been at his side for many years. He's a good man. He is also a man of violence.
I don't care what you say. I know Slate, too. He couldn't murder.
Believe what you want, Lady Sailor. You love him very much, don't you?
Go get me a drum to beat on, King. I've just got me a cause. I've got to be shown how Slate is a killer.
It is not that I do not admire, indeed relish, the fluid beauty of your walking back and forth in front of me in my office, Senorita Duval.
If it is not that you do not admire, Inspector LaSalle, then don't knock it, huh? Enjoy, enjoy.
We have placed the transocean call to New Orleans Police Department, for which I will be most happy to present you the toll charges.
Just give me a number. How many more laps I've got to go before they call back? A girl has to pace herself in these things.
So you and I have waited half a day together. I will enjoy waiting till nightfall with you, till the end of time. This is not too long to wait for the information whether Slate Shannon is indeed a murderer, whether he did indeed kill a man, Rudy Kijon, in New Orleans, whether you are not pacing anymore, Senorita Duval. At least make it interesting for me, eh?
It bores you, huh, that a man arrests Slate for murder, takes him away.
Knowing Slate Shannon as I do, Senorita Duval, it was only a matter of time until... pardon me. Inspector LaSalle, Havana Police. New Orleans, Senorita. You timed it well. Eh? Si, I accept. No? Si. No. You are certain? No, I'm not disappointed. It will happen sometime. Gracias. Operator, get me the charges, please, for the call to New Orleans.
What'd they say, LaSalle? Tell me what they said.
Never in New Orleans has there been the whisper of a murder of a man, Rudy Kijon. If he is killed, says in New Orleans, he was killed in another place.
And the man who arrested Slate was a fake, a phony, a guy with a mission.
Thank you, operator. $19.12, senorita, plus tax. It's cheap to buy back an innocent man, no, senorita?
I am to see you, amigo. I am sorry the crew is ashore. We would make music. And how happy I am to see your friend.
I wouldn't rush it, Pedro. My friend...
Well, I shake his hand. Friend of Slate Shannon, I offer you my hand.
My hand-shaking apparatus is occupied at the moment, Pedro. It's in my pocket. It's holding a gun.
You say gun?
Yeah, that's right. Stolen from the army.
Yeah, that's what I meant, Pedro. My friend steals police buzzers, army guns, jade.
This is a joke, see? I should tilt my mouth like so to make a grin like so, see? I should do it.
It's this way, Pedro. Yancey here has had that gun in my back for the last hour, but now...
See?
Let's get him!
You want a shot in the shoulder too, Shannon? You want to just say so. Let the air in the shoulder a little. You know I could do that.
Okay, you shot him. Now what?
He'll live. That door over there goes below, Shannon. Walk ahead of me. Open it.
You're a real large guy, Buster, with a gun in your hand. What happens to you when you get forgetful, when suddenly you wake up in the morning and nothing's in your fist?
I get cowardly. Open that closet. Everything out on the floor, Shannon. Nothing. Come on, that chest of drawers. Come on, come on, open them. Spill it. The other one. Come on. Spill it. Oh, now that tin box looks possible, doesn't it? Now, doesn't it, Shannon? Come on, open it. All right, put it on the table, Shannon. Now it'll open, Shannon. Come on, do it. Oh, you scoundrel, you Shannon. Look what you just did for me. Jane. Fitsui Jade. Now, couldn't that just kill you?
Venture. Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Oh, listen, my children, and you shall hear, and spare kind stranger one salty tear. Hear a story about a man named Slate, a man jilted by a lady named Fate. A man come in, police badge he show, say, Shannon, you're a killer, and away we'll go. I hate to tell you, I hate to say, you murdered a friend in Louisiana, eh?
And the man was lying, King. He was no more a cop than you or I.
But he showed you a badge, didn't he, Lady Sailor?
Who looks at badges? Could have said chicken inspector, for all I know. King?
Yes, Lady Sailor?
Are you worried, King?
Oh, Mr. Slate has been in desperate situations before, Lady Sailor. Why, I have seen him when he faced danger armed only with a smile, so chilling that his enemies turned and fled screaming into the night by the hordes. I have seen him dare the howling monsoons, taunt the burning desert with...
You worried, King?
Yes, Lady Sailor.
Me too. I've checked every place of exit in Havana. Bus, airplane, boat. No Slate. No phony cop named Yancey. King.
Yes, Lady Sailor.
Don't play. Sounds like a dirge.
Lady Sailor?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Slate will be all right.
Yeah, him and his chilly smile. I need him like a... I need him, King. Find him. Bring him back to me.
You got your feet sui jade, Yancey. Your gun poked a hole in my good friend, Pedro Velez. You've had a long day playing cops and robbers.
Something eating on you, Shannon?
Yeah. My feet hurt.
Oh, you're delicate, huh? The tour's almost over, Shannon. Inside.
Ah, it's a nice place you got here, Yancey. Complete with redhead. About size 12, weight 114. Am I correct, miss?
And you know that without trailing a finger down my arm, huh?
Get rid of boy with purloined gun here, baby, and we'll have it your way.
Now, don't it ever nauseate you how you keep trying, Shannon?
That's Shannon, huh? I heard about you, Shannon.
Yeah, I just can't keep it quiet.
Come on, I'll show you who I heard from. Come on, boy. Rudy, look what Yancey man brought you.
Slate. Slate Shannon.
Rudy, you're alive.
Oh, you're jealous, huh, Shannon? Well, he can't move a muscle, so don't be jealous. Just let Shannon lie there, Linda, so we can go away and live happy ever after.
service. Hey, service.
Just sign the register, Say, what did you do with Slate?
Mm-hmm. You owe me a nickel, Linda. I told you that'd be the first word she said. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard. I owe you five.
Uh-huh. What did you do with him, Yancey?
Oh, my, she's witty, isn't she?
And nice looking, too. Now, wouldn't you say so, Linda?
If I were a man, if it were a foggy night in Havana.
What did you do with Slate?
Yeah, I know. With Slate Shannon. Well, he's well, and he's happy, and he sends his fondest regards. He's eating nicely, he's gaining weight, and he says not to worry. Slate Shannon is fine. He's just fine. He's cramped a little, but he's fine.
All right. You came to make a deal. Slate Shannon for what?
Witty and clever, too.
Well, I told you, Linda, she's something, huh?
Just nothing. Oh, don't look hurt, Miss Duval, but you might as well know. I think you're nothing at all.
Except you have got a boat.
And that's the deal. Slate Shannon for the boat.
Well, almost. You see, we need a lift over to Miami. We've got a package to deliver. You let us off the boat in the States, and we give you an address, a room number, and a key.
And that's where Slate will be?
Such a brain, a regular whiz for catching on.
Uh-huh, yes, Slate'll be there. Got a deal, Miss Duval? Sure it's a deal.
You hurt bad, Slate? Come on, Slate. Come on.
Rudy?
Yeah, I've been talking to you for the last hour, trying to get through to you, Slate. You've got to get up. You've got to get up and get out of here.
I got this nice, soft floor to enjoy, and a guy like you has to louse it up.
Slate, I told you, I apologize. I apologized.
Yeah, I forgive you for being alive, Rudy. There was a happy rumor afloat that you were dead.
Yancey told you this. Is that correct?
Yeah. He added a flourish. He said, I killed you. When this floor starts getting hard again, I might get around to it.
Ah, this is madness. Everybody knows you wouldn't kill me. Me, Rudy Keyjohn, your old shipmate.
Yeah, that was the one time I took the wrong boat. Come on, Shannon. Real strong man. Be brave. Get up.
Oh, that's good, Shannon, it's good. That's very good. Now untie me and I'll be your crutch.
Before this wonderful thing happens to me, Buster, brief me what you're doing here.
It's because I talk too much. Because I unzipped my mouth in Trinidad.
So you unzipped. What came out?
The brave, crazy days I had with Slate Shannon. I told them the Yancey and that beautiful Linda. And I told them also of another intimate friend.
Pedro Velez?
Of course, Pedro Velez. How rich and fat he was becoming on the Burma run. How he brought Fitsui Jade out of the archipelago.
You're a real bright boy to blab that around.
Oh, now, please, Slate, untie me.
Yeah, I will. Because Pedro Velez has got an apology coming, too. For what you did to him. For what you made me do.
Well, I'll sing it to Pedro if he likes.
Tell him I'm getting back his jade. Tell him I'll bandage the wounds I let him take. Tell him that.
Come on.
Look, is it my fault if the motor doesn't start?
Got the look of a grease monkey. How come you can't start this tub? Run that gun up and down her spine, Yancey. Then maybe she'll remember.
Now, wait a minute. I just thought of something. Shannon says something about a sick carburetor.
Real sick, huh? See? Huh?
Oh, what a clever grease monkey. Now I'll get Yancey and me in this package to Miami.
Hold it, I'll cast off. Okay, Skipper, honey, you're okay now.
Yeah, she is.
Shannon, you...
Take off, sailor. I've got this guy.
Aye.
Welcome ashore, Yancey.
You like to mess things up, don't you, boys?
Yeah. Messy, huh?
Yeah. You grabbed me in my cowardly phase, Shannon. I didn't have my gun. But I got it now. You and this gun met before, didn't you?
Yeah. You and your gun. Without a tin box full of jade.
You'll get it back for me, boy. Go on, run up a distress flag or whatever it is you salts do to bring home a boat.
It's a black night, Yancey. Sailor won't see it.
Well, I got a better idea, Shannon. I'll let this gun talk to you a little bit. Then you'll scream. And that girl of yours will come back.
You ever catch my bob and weave, Yancey? On a black night, it's terrific. And I've got a duck that'll surprise you.
You want to try? You want to start screaming?
You got one shot, Yancey. Make it good. Yeah. Yeah, it's me. I lied to him, sailor.
What are you talking about?
Yancey got two shots. The first one missed me. The second one I rerouted. Yancey stopped it. Where's Linda?
What do you want to know for?
And the bucket of jade she had with her that belongs to a friend of mine. Where is it?
Are you worried about the jade, or are you worried about Linda?
Come on, come on.
The jade's over by the wheel, Slate. And Linda... Come over here, Slate. There she is.
That's Linda?
Raw hamburger on those eyes, Slate. They'll go down. Ice cube on the lips. And pivot teeth you can get from any friendly credit dentist.
Well, let's get rid of these people, sailor. Then we can go home.
Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, will return in just a moment.
See, I finally convinced you, huh, sailor?
Uh-huh. You really did.
Now, don't ever fight me on these things. You want business, you've got to advertise.
Okay, okay. I'm convinced the sandwich board is just the thing.
Looks nice, doesn't it?
I like the sign you printed on it, too. Fetching.
Yeah, I dreamed it up all by myself. Shannon's place, where nature has a rendezvous. Turn it around, sailor. Voo with you.
It's tweaking, Slate. It really is. Only how about the people who see the backside first? All they're going to see is boo with you.
Well, in the advertising game, we call that a tease. You ready, sailor?
All right, if you say so.
Up. Now over. That's it. Fit all right?
Pretty heavy, isn't it?
Beefing already. I tell you, it's okay.
When you walk, Slate, do it on tippy toe. You shouldn't drag it on the pavement. Ah, you look fine. Come here. Yummy. A Slate burger. Get out of here, Slate, before I gnaw right through the wood.
And so, our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
You know, even at this time of year, in spring, Cuba still sounds good to me. In fact, they're predicting, because of the winter we've had, that some of the Great Lakes will not lose their ice until midsummer. In fact, those who want to have warm swimming may not find it till September. So, having said that, let's stay in the tropics. Another adventure, this one more underwater. Another singer. And this series kind of paralleled Bold Venture in that it was in the same time frame, in the early 50s, and probably a bit of a same kind of style in terms of being an adventure show. This is Dangerous Assignment, and I think I've mentioned previously, it's one of those shows that had to grow on me a bit, but this is, I think, one of the better ones. And we'll meet Lord Byron.
National Broadcasting Company brings you Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell in Dangerous Assignment.
Hi, Commissioner.
Steve, have a seat.
Thanks. I suppose you know you're ruining my reputation around this town. Every time I get out on a date, you haul me back here to the office and send me halfway around the world.
Cheer up, Steve. They always keep a light burning in the window for you, don't they?
Yeah, but if you're gone too long, that fire can die out, you know.
Steve, ever have on a diving suit?
Diving suit? Well, yeah, once.
You're leaving for the Caribbean on the next plane. Your destination is Trinidad.
I'm going to fly to Trinidad in a diving suit?
You're going hunting for pirate treasure, Steve. There's no time now to go into the background. Go to Trinidad and show up in dungarees at the Trade Winds Bar. You'll be contacted there, and the contact will fill you in on the deal.
Just a minute. Part of the deal doesn't by any chance involve getting into a diving suit, does it?
It might. Steve, this is a vital job. We're depending on you right down the line. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
In a moment, tonight's story of Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, colorful, two-fisted government agent. But first, a message from the Ford dealers of America.
The 1950 Ford has everyone talking. Here is what Mr. R.L. Bell of Georgia, one of more than 410,000 enthusiastic owners, said about his 50 Ford.
I've had my new Ford Club Coupe for 6 weeks and have driven it 6,700 miles. This operation was over all types of roads and under varying weather conditions, from Key West to the Great Smokies. It holds the road better than any car I've ever driven. And in 19 years of traveling, I've owned 8 makes of cars. For my money, it has more comfort than any low-price car on the market. My car is equipped with overdrive, and up to now, my gasoline mileage average has been 21 3/10 miles per gallon.
Yes, Ford owners everywhere are finding out about the economy of the great new Ford. They're saving real money now because of Ford's low price. And they'll be saving real money for years to come because of Ford's low operating and maintenance cost. But see for yourself. Tomorrow, stop by your neighborhood Ford dealers. Get the facts on Ford economy. Then take the wheel and test drive the big new Ford.
This assignment tops them all. Usually, I have at least an inkling of what I'm supposed to do, but here I am heading for Trinidad, and all I know is I'm supposed to meet a guy in the Trade Winds Bar. It's a hot Tuesday afternoon when I get to Trinidad. I change into dungarees at the hotel and head for the Trade Winds Bar. It's a real keen joint. A bunch of rickety tables, a calypso singer, a battered-looking bar with a drunk sprawled on it, and behind the bar, a fat gent in a dirty apron.
All right, name it, brother.
Beer.
Coming up. Hey, sailor, aren't you?
Yeah, but out of a job right now. Just drifting.
Butter! Oh, I'm coming.
Hey, mister.
Huh?
Buy me a drink, will you?
You look like you've had too much already. You better go back to... Hey, wait a minute. Joe Wilkins.
Yeah.
Commissioner told me I'd be contacted here, but he didn't mention you.
I've been working on this case for 6 months now.
Oh.
I've managed to establish an enviable reputation as the leading drunk in Trinidad. Oh, my poor liver.
What's the deal?
Underwater demolition. You know what a job it did for us during the war, Steve.
Yeah, the Navy frogmen.
Yeah. Well, about 6 months ago, a group of civilians with government cooperation developed a revolutionary new explosive technique.
Mm-hmm.
They came down here, rented a boat, and made their tests. Sure of that much because they radioed in that they were on their way back, and that's the last we ever heard from them.
What happened?
We don't know. Boat apparently sank.
Hmm. Any survivors?
One. A deckhand named Griggs. He disappeared before I could get down here. It's either one of two things, Steve. Griggs got away with the data they compiled, or else it's at the bottom of the Caribbean.
You know, if that falls into the wrong hands, none of our ports and harbors would be safe. You got any line on Griggs?
Not until 3 days ago. And Griggs popped up here in Trinidad looking real prosperous. Throwing dough around.
Well, maybe he sold the plan.
I don't think so, Steve. He started outfitting a treasure hunting expedition. His outfit is shoving off tomorrow on a little boat called the Sea Witch. I've been trying to get a job on it.
Hey, you could be walking into a lot of trouble.
Steve. See that babe over there in the corner table alone?
Yeah. What about her?
That's Griggs' girlfriend. I can't get any information from her. I think she likes the more of your size.
Okay. I'll give it a try. See you later. Hi.
What do you want?
To buy you a drink.
Why not?
Matter of fact, I'll buy you two drinks.
And then what?
Then we quit drinking. I'll be broke.
Oh? Having it tough, huh?
Yeah. It's pretty hard for a diver to get a job these days.
A diver? Oh, why don't you get lost?
What's the matter? Don't you like divers?
Oh, sure, but they're never around. I know. I go with a guy who is a diver. Griggs.
Oh. Hey, maybe this friend of yours, Griggs, could give me a job.
I don't think so. It's some kind of a treasure hunting business.
Teresa, button your left.
Hello, Griggs.
Who's this joker?
A guy who is kind enough to buy me a drink.
Shove off, bud.
Now, don't you think that's up to Teresa?
You heard me get lost.
Oh, sit down, Griggs, and quit showing your muscles. And, mister, maybe you'd better so, too.
Okay, sure. Well, see you around.
Maybe we can have that drink some other time.
Yeah? There won't be any other time. You keep your eyes to yourself after this and don't get any eyes.
How did you make out, Steve?
Not so hot. The boyfriend showed up too soon.
Yeah. Well, I sure wish we could get some.
What's the matter?
A little gent who just came in, the one in the white suit.
Yeah, what about him?
His name's Jeremiah. You'll hear all about him in a second.
Hmm.
Lord Byron's tuning up right now.
Lord Byron?
Yeah, it's the Calypso singer over there. Listen.
Jeremiah is a fine man, the best man in all Trinidad colony. He's a good friend of sailors whose luck's very bad, the best man in colony Trinidad. A wristwatch, a ring or a curio, for this Jeremiah will lend much dough. He will find you a job for a modest fee, the savior of suffering humanity. He saves the sailors from a cold, cruel fate and charges a very low interest rate. Oh, Jeremiah is a fine man here, the best man in Trinidad colony.
And now you know who Jeremiah is.
Yeah. Hey, he just slipped that Calypso singer some dough.
Sure, that's the deal.
Well, what do you know? Singing commercials in Trinidad yet. Wait a minute. That song said something about getting jobs for sailors.
Sure, that's right. That's the angle I'm working on with him.
You mean you're trying to get him to put you aboard the boat Griggs is sailing on?
Yeah. Oh, watch it, Steve. Jeremiah's heading this way.
Oh, Joe. Joe.
Hello, Jeremiah.
How can I help you start a new life if you spend all the money I'd lend you on cheap whiskey?
Well, I tried, Jeremiah. You know how it is.
You must be firm, Joe. You must turn over a new leaf.
Yeah.
The ways of sin lead but to the grave or the drunk tank. And then how could I ever get back all the money I've invested in you? Work. That is the answer for you, Joe. Work.
Yeah. Nobody will give me a job.
Ah, that's not true any longer, Joe. I have gotten you a job.
Huh?
On the Sea Witch. You sail tomorrow morning.
Hey, you kidding me?
Of course not. Joe, I see in you a noble man who has been corrupted by evil companions and unfortunate experiences. I believe in you, Joe. I believe that you will straighten out and take your rightful place in the world. So, I have gotten you a job to help you.
That's pretty nice of you, Jeremiah.
It was not easy, mind you. It is a small boat with a small crew, some sort of treasure hunting expedition, I believe. Now, just sign this little slip of paper, if you will, please.
What is it?
Well, the customary agreement, which gives me a small percentage of your wages in return for the trouble I've gone to on your account.
Hey, you call 20% small?
Why, Joe, after all I've done for you, how can you quibble about such a trifling amount?
Okay, Jeremiah, I'll sign.
Just give the skipper this card, Joe. That will identify you.
Okay.
Well, I must be going now. I have to meet this other deckhand, Nick, and give him a card also.
Thanks again, Jeremiah.
When a human being is in need, Jeremiah will not be far away.
Steve? Yeah, I heard it all. Come on.
Huh?
We're going to follow Jeremiah. I'm cooking up an idea. If it works, you're going to have yourself a shipmate. We follow Jeremiah to his office near the waterfront. We wait down the street. Pretty soon, the sailor goes into the office. He's walking like he had quite a few drinks under his belt. In a few minutes, he comes out again. He's putting one of Jeremiah's cards in his pocket. Come on, Joe. Here he comes. Start walking.
Hey.
Sorry.
Why don't you look out where you're going?
Same to you, bud.
Oh, no,
break it up. It was just an accident. Hey, didn't you just come out of Jeremiah's office?
Yeah, what's it to you?
Oh, I was just wondering if he was there. I got to find out some more stuff from him about this boat I'm shoving off on tomorrow morning.
Oh, the Sea Witch?
Yeah, why?
Looks like we're going to be shipmates.
Are you sailing on it too, huh? Well, my name's Joe.
Oh, Nick's mine.
Oh, this is Steve, buddy of mine.
Hi.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, this calls for a drink, huh?
Yeah, I could use one. How about you, Nick?
Sure, I can always use one. And this is our last day ashore, too. Come on, let's go.
Five bars later, Joe and I manage to find out that Nick hasn't ever seen the skipper of the Sea Witch. Finally, Nick figures he's had too much.
I gotta get out of here.
Sure, Nick, sure. Here, give me a hand, Joe.
Okay. Oh, easy, Nick. I need some fresh air.
Yeah, that's where we're going, outside.
Mm.
There you are. Mm. Feel better now?
Oh, yeah. Fresh air. It's wonderful.
Catch him, Joe.
I got him. Well, now what?
Huh?
Steve will have to take him to the police station, I guess.
Yeah, it's right next door, too. Quite a coincidence, huh? Come on, I'll carry him.
Okay.
Brother, he's no lightweight.
Here we are. Yeah, Steve, set him down on that chair over there.
Hello. What's all this?
We've got a package for you. He's it.
Drunk?
Slightly. My name's Mitchell, Constable. Steve Mitchell. Here are my credentials.
I say, what can I do for you, chap?
You got a nice private cell where you could deposit this guy, Nick?
Well, I suppose so. Ordinarily, we'd throw him into the drunk tank.
Well, this isn't an ordinary occasion. I'll fill you in on it after you lock him up. I get Jeremiah's card off Nick. Then I make a deal with the constable. He puts Nick in a private cell and me in the drunk tank. And from now on, he's to call me Nick. Joe sends a message to the skipper that Nick is locked up. Then I roost there the rest of the night, watching a few assorted cases of DTs. Morning finally comes, and with it comes a visitor.
All right, now. Look alive, chums. Which one of you is Nick?
I am.
On your feet, then. Here's someone to pick you up.
Who are you?
The skipper. Let's see your card.
Here it is.
Come on. Good moving, Nick.
Okay, let's go.
Nick, if I wasn't short-handed, I'd let you rot in a drunk tank.
Ah, simmer down, will you?
We shove off in an hour. Be aboard.
Sure. I'll get my gear together and be down there in plenty of time. I'll see you later, Skipper. Skipper goes in another. I wait until I'm out of his sight, then I double back and head for Joe's rooming house. I turn a corner just in time to see the skipper going inside. But the skipper isn't even supposed to know Joe, let alone where he lives. That means just one thing. There's been a leak. I shift into high, but just as I get to the door... I head for the rickety stairs, but a door opens above and Joe staggers out into the hall.
Steve!
Joe! Here, let me...
No, it's too late, Steve.
The skipper?
Yeah. He doesn't know about you, Steve. I told him I was working alone. Get aboard the Sea Witch, Steve. You're on your own.
In a moment, you'll hear the second act of Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy, after this brief word from the Ford dealers of America.
All over the country, folks are praising the beautiful new Ford, and no wonder, for this car is a masterpiece of sleek fashion styling. But there's more than style in the new Ford, much more. There's safety, too. Safety that's built into Ford features, into its dependable magic action king-size brakes, for example, into its sturdy all-steel lifeguard body, and into its advanced steering mechanism. And the new Ford brings you economy, too. It's low in first cost and high in resale value. It's thrifty on gas and oil and inexpensive to maintain. So before you buy any car at any price, stop by your neighborhood Ford dealers. Look over the new Ford for beauty. Check its many safety features. Get the facts about Ford economy. Then discover the flashing performance and big car comfort of this truly great car. Test drive the 100 horsepower V8 or its companion in quality, the 95 horsepower 6. See, hear, and feel why the big new Ford is the one fine car in the low price field.
And now, here is the second act of Dangerous Assignment.
Yeah, I'm really on my own now. Joe's dead. I know the skipper killed him, but I can't tip my hand yet. I have to play it close to the chest. So I go down to the waterfront and get aboard the Sea Witch.
Get forward and help Griggs with the lines. Ready to shove off, and we're shorthanded. Some rum-dum named Joe didn't show up.
Okay. Hey, just a minute.
What's the matter, Griggs?
You're the guy who was making a play for my girl at the Tradewinds bar yesterday.
So what?
So what are you doing aboard?
Same as you, Buster. I'm sailing on this tub.
What? Look, skipper, get this guy off.
You look. I'm the skipper. I run this boat.
Yeah? Well, don't forget, I'm the only guy who knows where to take this boat.
Griggs, you're getting paid for this job, same as I. The boss says this guy goes. Now, shut up!
Sorry, Griggs.
Okay. Okay. But just remember, I don't like you.
That's tough.
Yeah. It could be.
Now, break it off, both of you. Get busy with those lines. Hey, you, Lord Barn.
Yes, skipper?
Hey, that Calypso singer going along, too?
Yeah, he's a pretty good deckhand. Now, get that engine started. We're shoving off.
I watch the shoreline of Trinidad fade away, and I wonder if I'll ever see it again. Joe and I had figured we'd be 2-3 when the showdown came, but now it looks like it's 1-3. I can't figure out where Lord Byron, the Calypso singer, stands in the deal, so the third day out, I'm on deck when I hear him singing.
Oh, the sea which she sail on the Carib Sea, the hunt buried treasure for you and me. If we don't find the treasure, then the hunt is done. Lord Byron don't care, cause he still have fun.
You sound like you don't care whether we find this treasure or not.
Oh, many people seek treasure, Nick. Few of them ever find it. But it's fun looking.
Mm. Hey, did you ever sail with Griggs or the skipper before?
No.
You know, I have a theory that you can trust a happy man.
Well, you and me, Nick, we are happy people, but the skipper and Griggs, they're not. It's too bad.
Yeah. Look, if you ever hear the skipper and Griggs talking about me, I'd like you to come and tell me right away.
Oh, sure, Nick. I'll come and tell you right away if I hear anything.
Good.
Okay, Nick, this is it.
Hi.
You're going to work.
What do you mean, skipper?
Get into a diving suit.
What?
You heard me. I want you to go down and see if we're over that sunken ship.
What's the matter with Griggs? I thought he was the diver.
He's got a bellyache.
Oh. Kind of hit him all of a sudden, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Look, I was told you were a diver, too.
Well, sure. Sure I am.
Then get into the suit. Lord Byron will tend your lines and man the pump. Get moving.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it. It smells like trouble all of a sudden, but there's nothing I can do. I get into the diving suit.
They fasten the helmet over my head, and Lord Byron helps me over the side. On the bottom, it's cold and murky and quiet. I poke around for about 15 minutes, but I can't see the sunken ship anywhere. Lord Byron, you better haul me up. Lord Byron.
He's busy, Nick. I'm handling your lines now.
Oh, well, Skipper, I can't spot that hulk anywhere.
Can't be far.
Well, it isn't here. How about hauling me up?
You're getting enough air, Nick?
Yeah, but keep it coming, huh?
Sure, Nick. Sure. I'll haul you up now, but I want you to keep your suit on. We'll move on a couple of hundred yards, and you and Griggs will go down again.
Griggs? I thought he was sick.
He feels okay all of a sudden.
Let's see. Look, come on, haul me up. We're getting lonesome down here.
Sure, Nick. Sure.
I'm sweating plenty inside that suit on the way to the surface. For a couple of grim seconds when the skipper was asking me about my air supply, I figured he was onto me and playing cat and mouse.
Yeah, it was good to get that fishbowl off of my head. Yeah, I thought I was in trouble then, but if I could have seen what was happening at the Trinidad jail, I'd have known how much trouble I really was in.
Good morning, Constable.
Oh, Jeremiah. Down here to save a few souls this morning?
I am making my usual visit to offer my services to any unfortunate sailors who may have fallen in with evil companions, yes.
Well, the crop we've got in the tank this morning don't seem to have much of value on them.
My good man, you do not seem to realize that pawning articles is but a minor thing with me. My larger aim is to serve humanity.
Of course, of course. Clumsy of me to forget, Jeremiah. Well, you know where the drunk tank is. Help yourself.
Thank you.
Jeremiah.
Who called me?
Jeremiah, over here.
Why, Nick. Nick, you're supposed to be out on the sea witch.
Two guys got me drunk and hauled me in here.
Who were they?
One of them's name was Joe. The other I don't remember.
Joe was taken care of before the sea witch sailed. Do you still have my card?
No, it was gone when I came to.
I see. This friend of Joe's must have taken your place, Nick. I will get a message to the sea witch at once.
Yeah, I guess so, Griggs. Where's the skipper?
Up in the radio shack. There's a radio message coming in.
Huh.
Lord Byron here can let us down and handle the pup.
Sure, Griggs.
Okay. You go down first and wait for me. Don't do anything until I get down there.
Okay.
Screw his faceplate on, Lord Byron.
Sure, Griggs.
Okay. Lower him.
This time, we've got the right location. I land right on the sunken ship. It's lying on its side. Griggs comes down after me and drops into a hole in the side of the ship. In a minute, he crawls out with a waterproof container. The underwater demolition data we're both after. Then he stiffens and seems to be listening to something. Divers' phones are on separate lines, so I can't hear what Griggs was listening to, but suddenly, Lord Byron is singing into my phone.
There were once two men in the diving suits, and one of them's in trouble, you can bet your boots. The bad man is holding a knife very tight. The good man had better begin to fight.
Great time to be singing. Then suddenly it registers. It's more than a song, it's a warning. I turn around just in time to see Griggs bringing his knife through the water toward my diving suit. From then on, it's like a slow-motion movie. I manage to get my hand around his wrist in time, and I start inching him back toward the hole in the side of the ship. We sway back and forth for a few seconds. Then I finally get my shoulder against him and shove. He topples over into the hole. There's slack in his cable. I take a turn around the beam. Then I fish my own knife out of my belt and cut his phone line. Lord Byron. Lord Byron, haul me up.
He's a little unconscious right now. Nick, whatever your name is.
Huh?
I just got a radio message about you from Jeremiah.
Jeremiah? Oh, So he's the big boss.
Yeah. It looks like that message came just in time. With you on the bottom and me on the surface. I got news for you, brother. You're not coming up.
In a moment, the conclusion of Dangerous Assignment. Now, a brief message from the Ford dealers of America. Owners everywhere are raving about their 1950 Fords. Here is what Mr. Clyde McNeely of Illinois, one of more than 410,000 new Ford owners, has to say about his 50 Ford.
Being a metal plater, I naturally am interested in machinery and metals. I've realized for many years that Ford had a real power plant under the hood. Now that I own a 1950 Ford, I'm sold on it, particularly because of the engine and also because I like its style. It surprises me that the 100-horsepower V8 engine is so quiet. In fact, the mechanical features of the 1950 Ford are outstanding. Its power and quietness, the way it rides, the ease of handling, and its economy.
Yes, ask any Ford owner how he feels about his big new Ford, and he'll tell you it's tops for performance and for comfort. But prove it for yourself. Drop into your neighborhood Ford dealers and test drive this great car. You'll be amazed when you discover how little it costs to buy, to run, and to maintain. Do it tomorrow. Test drive the big new 1950 Ford.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it. But if I'm not coming up, neither is Griggs.
What did you do to him?
He's out of commission right now.
No wonder he can't talk to me. Well, you won't be talking much longer either, Nick. I'm turning off your air.
Now, look.
So long, sucker.
Wait a minute. If you turn off my air, I've still got time to open this container and scatter these papers you're after. You'll never get them.
Yeah, you're just bluffing, Nick. According to Griggs, those papers are sealed in there too tight for you to do anything about in a diving suit. I'm going to haul Griggs up and leave you there.
Yeah? Well, just tell me one thing, Skipper.
Yeah, what is it?
You weren't on deck when Lord Byron lowered us. How do you know which liner is which? How do you know which one of us you're going to haul up?
Not good enough, Nick. I know which phone I'm talking to you on, and I can see which line it's connected to.
Maybe I had Lord Byron switch the phone lines when he let us down.
Not a chance. Like I said before. So long, sucker.
I played my last card, and he trumped it. I stand there with a sick feeling in my middle as I watch Griggs' line tighten with a jerk, and suddenly I know there's only one thing more I can do.
Well, so you did switch phone lines on me, huh? Thanks for the tip, Nick. I knew if I jerked your line hard enough, I could get a grunt out of you. Now I'm sure which line to haul up.
It had worked. Griggs' line slackens, and the skipper starts hauling me up. Halfway to the surface, he turns off the air. That's good. Be less air in my suit and I can move my arms better. I let my body go limp and slump my head down below the faceplate and the helmet like I'm unconscious. I surface. The skipper holds me up on deck and unscrews the faceplate.
Okay, Griggs. You'll be all right if...
You're guessing wrong.
Nick!
Yeah, come on, skipper. Let's bump heads.
Nick, you okay? I tried to warn you.
Yeah, that warning came just in time. Thanks, Lord Byron. When I get out of this suit, I'll untie you, and we'll haul up Griggs and head for Trinidad. And Jeremiah.
Untie you? Jeremiah? You know, Nick, this almost sounds like a Calypso song.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, then, I might as well finish it. How's that thing go? Oh, Jeremiah was a fine man, he, until he sent his bad boys out to sea. They got all fouled up down near the equator. Now, Stephen, Lord Byron, bring back the demolition, Dater.
Nick, in the future, I had better sing the Calypso.
Yeah, maybe you had better.
You have just heard another episode in the exciting new adventure series, Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell. Dangerous Assignment, written by Bob Reif with music by Bruce Ashley, is directed by Bill Karn. Be with us next week at this time when Brian Donlevy, starring as Steve Mitchell, will embark on another Dangerous Assignment. Tomorrow,
be sure to hear Bob Hope and Fibber McGee on NBC.
There we have our two offerings for tonight. Well, it's time for this big drip to get out of here before we get more waterlogged. Turn it over to our announcer man who will wrap it up for us. Thank you for being here. It's been great to have a chance to do this again after a little while. I'm glad you're here, for the obvious reason that if you weren't, well, why would I be? And if I didn't have a place to be, well, that could be dangerous. Look forward to seeing you next time here on MSS. Mr. Announcer Man, put the lid on it.
Okay, Rick. Thanks a lot and great work. I will take it from here so that I can shut things down and wrap things up for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, that's it. The MSS Express has reached the end of the line, so I am going to have to very slowly, gently, but firmly conduct each and every one of you off the train. But don't worry, we will be back again next week making another run. So, if you want to continue to enjoy high-quality OTR surprises, please come back and join us. You know when, and you know where. As usual, if you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them to mikeameli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. Otherwise, there could be consequences. On behalf of myself and the rest of this expansive MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.